Beautiful singing tonight, especially considering the fact we've got so many gone tonight. But we are glad that you're here. We're honored that you've chosen to come tonight to worship our God. It's not too hot in the building tonight, I hope. But certainly if you are too hot, you can go outside and you'll cool down rather quickly. It's a blessing to be able to assemble like we are in a building like this to worship God. And I hope we're thankful for such opportunities. I do hope that you'll remember our special day next Sunday. Invite somebody, if you can, to come and to be a part of it. You know, when you think about the preachers back in New Testament times, we know that those preachers preached about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in fact, was the theme. He was the focal point of everything that those apostles taught. You remember when Philip went down to the city of Samaria. The Bible says he preached Christ and his kingdom, Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, to the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip preached Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23 that he preached Christ and him crucified. That was the theme of his teaching. That was the subject of his preaching. And I think all those who claim to be gospel preachers need to put at the forefront of their preaching about Jesus Christ. Now, preaching about Jesus Christ includes everything that has been revealed concerning him. From his pre-existence as deity before the beginning, you think about his time here upon this earth and everything that was involved in that. You think about his present rule and reign in heaven. You consider his return one day and the judgment. All of this is embodied in preaching Jesus Christ. But I believe that preaching Jesus Christ also involves preaching about the ascension of Jesus Christ. You know, the ascension of Jesus Christ is not something that we really hear a whole lot about, but I think it is very interesting to look at it. There's some things that we need to consider and think about. I want us, if you have your Bibles tonight, to look at Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 50, and we find Luke's account here of the ascension of Jesus Christ. And there the Bible says that Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them. He was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In our scripture reading tonight, focus your attention to part of that. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, and we look beginning at verse 9. Again, Luke records these words. And when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, that is the apostles, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, he shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now tonight, as we briefly look at the ascension of Jesus Christ, we're going to deal with four specific questions. First of all, we're going to ask, when did the ascension take place? I want us to also notice from where the ascension occurred. And then ask the question, to where did our Lord go? And then why? Perhaps the most important question, why did our Lord ascend? First of all, tonight, let's consider the question of when. Now, in terms of years, we know that it was more than 2,000 years ago, but more specifically, it was 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after he had showed himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. Of course, Jesus had appeared to many as evidence of his resurrection, and there are at least 12 different and specific appearances of the resurrection of Jesus after that he had risen from the grave. There are those instances that are specifically recorded in the Bible. And during those 40 days after his resurrection, he was teaching his apostles about the kingdom. And even as Jesus Christ was soon to leave them, up until the very last moment, it seems, he kept instructing them. Now, of course, the ascension occurred at the close of his earthly sojourn here. We know that our Lord had been born of the Virgin Mary just 33 years earlier, the last 3.5 years having been spent in accomplishing his mission. And that mission, of course, as Luke says in Luke 19, verse 10, was to seek and save the lost. That's why Jesus came. That was his mission. His mission, according to Paul, was to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Jesus provided the way of salvation for mankind, and now that his work was completed, having finished the work which God the Father had given him to do, he now was returning to the state of glory from which he had come. And our Lord ascended while witnesses beheld him. Human eyes had never seen anything like this before, and their eyes followed him upward until he was no longer in their sight, but received up into the clouds. I know if you're like me, you may have taken a helium balloon and you let that helium balloon go in the air, and you'll watch sometime for several minutes as that balloon ascends into the heavens, into the sky. And it gets to the point where you just have to squint, and eventually you lose sight of it. I don't know how many of you saw in the news this week, but there was a school up in North Alabama, an elementary school, that released some notes. They put notes in helium balloons and let them go, and they were going to see if they could get some kind of reply. Lo and behold, if somebody from West Virginia didn't call and say that they had gotten one of those messages. Now, that balloon traveled a long way. Now we see, though, these apostles, as they were watching Jesus, they were watching him ascend into the heavens. And the value of this witness was immeasurable in the labor that these men were soon to undertake. Now they could preach in full confidence the truth concerning the whereabouts of Jesus. They knew for sure that our Lord had ascended back into heaven, and with great emphasis, those apostles could faithfully declare everything that they had seen and heard. Now let's ask the question in the next place, from where did our Lord ascend? Well, our Lord left a world that did not receive him. This world was unworthy of him and of the blessings that he brought. He left a world that was abounding in sin and unrighteousness, where people were totally undeserving of salvation and without merit. And I think the irony, the amazing irony about the life of Jesus Christ was that He came for our good. He came for our benefit. And yet, sadly, the world hated Him. The world, by and large, rejected the Savior. They turned their back on Him. John chapter 3 and verse 19 says that light is come into the world, but men loved the darkness of their sins. And we know how that they subjected the holy and just one to the most horrible and terrible abuse and mistreatment, even too terrible for the worst criminal. Our Lord endured the shame of the cross, the ridicule, the scorn, the suffering. And He did all that for you and for me. Now, geographically, the location of the ascension was near Bethany, and only one time did Jesus ever go beyond the borders of Palestine. Our Lord spent much of His life in a very small area. I think we can marvel at the profound influence of one who traveled no more than Jesus did. The actual spot from which He ascended was the Mount of Olives, not far from the home of His dear friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We know that it was just a Sabbath day's journey from the city of Jerusalem. And our Lord ascended from a place where often He would go for prayer and solitude, away from the multitudes and the great stress that was constantly imposed upon Him. Our Lord had often gone there to rest and to teach His apostles. But let's ask the question now, where did He go? Well, our Lord went to a place that is invisible to the human eye. Luke's account says that He went out of their sight, but He went to a place of power and rank. And we know that Jesus Christ is now seated on the right hand of God, Colossians 3 and verse 1. When He ascended, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. That designates a place of rank, honor, authority, unexcelled power. Luke 24 and verse 51 tells us that He was carried up into heaven. And that simply means that He went to that great spiritual realm of joy and peace and goodness and purity. Our Lord went to that very same place that He promised to all of us who would come to Him and faithfully live in Him. And what a marvelous thought it is tonight to know that where Jesus went on that occasion, that that is not out of the reach of human beings. Our Lord went to an unseen world, and yet Jesus is near enough to each of us to see us and to sympathize with us. He watches over us. He cares for us. He provides for us. And yes, today He intercedes on our behalf. And to me, what's even more wonderful is the fact that we can go where Jesus is. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. And then notice what He said, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, the mission of Jesus Christ was to make it possible for us to go and to dwell with Him in the land of eternal life and to be with God the Father forever and forever. But as we close tonight, we want to ask the important question, why? Why did our Lord ascend back into heaven? Now it seems to me of all these questions that we've looked into tonight that this is by far the most important one. And there's certainly a number of reasons that we could consider as to why Jesus went back into heaven. Some of these reasons are explicitly stated. Others are certainly implied. We know that Jesus Christ went to receive a kingdom. In Luke 19 and verse 12, in the parable that Jesus taught where he pictures his going away and coming again, Christ shows that he went away to receive for himself a kingdom. I think about Daniel and one of his prophecies in Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14, and how he prophesied of the event when the Son of Man would go to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and he would be given a kingdom. It was announced before his birth that he would be a king on the throne of David. And we know that the kingdom of our Lord was a spiritual kingdom. It wasn't an earthly kingdom. And while on this earth, our Lord foretold the coming of the kingdom. He even said that there's some standing here right now that would not taste of death till they saw the kingdom come with power. Mark 9 and verse 1. And our Lord identified that power as the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we know that took place on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Our Lord had even foretold the signs where it would be able to be known the moment of the coming of the kingdom. And furthermore, Jesus Christ had promised these apostles that he was going to send to them a comforter. This comforter was the Holy Spirit, and he was going to send this comforter when he left them. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come. He will guide you into all truth. He'll bring all things to your remembrance." And thus Jesus said, "It is expedient that I go away." John 16 and verse 7. And of course, we know that the misunderstanding of his kingdom, even among the apostles themselves, made it of a necessity that Jesus remain on this earth no more. And we know that while he was on this earth, Jesus would be hindered by the flesh. He would be subject to certain limitations, even persecutions on this earth. We know that Jesus could not be a king or a priest on this earth because he was from the tribe of Judah and not from the priestly tribe of Levi. And having made all the necessary preparations for his return, and having fulfilled all the work that he was sent by his Father to accomplish, having done everything that he needed to do to provide for our salvation, he ascended back into heaven to fulfill the prophecies that had been foretold concerning him and this event. But in addition to all these reasons, Jesus tells us explicitly why he was going to return. He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." and he assures us that he will one day come again and receive us unto himself. And when our Lord one day comes again from heaven, we know that we're going to be raised to meet him in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. You see, our Lord returned to heaven. Our Lord ascended back to his Father to be a king, to be priest, to be a mediator, to be a rewarder, to be a spiritual companion of all those that would follow him. God's word teaches that Jesus is our Savior now. He reigns in heaven, and we tonight ought to be thankful that Jesus Christ was lifted up in this fashion. Our Lord was lifted up on that old rugged cross. He was then lifted up from the tomb, and eventually he was lifted up into heaven. And in that way, Jesus became our Savior. He provided God's plan for saving man, and he provides thus the basis of our hope of eternal life. Tonight, I guess we all need to think and consider the time when we'll one day arise. Are we going to arise from the grave to a life of eternal bliss, eternal joy? Or will we arise to a place of hopelessness, a place of punishment? If we love the Lord and keep his commandments, if we faithfully serve him to the best of our ability, then we can have confidence, great confidence, that one day we will be where the Lord is. I hope tonight that's your hope. I hope you have that confidence. If not, we sing this song of encouragement tonight. If you need to obey the